Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Because it's Wednesday, we have the privilege of speaking to Dr. Carl. He is our Australian science communicator. Dr. Carl, good morning. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you, Dr. Howard.
Very good. All right, so let's start talking about mosquitoes. Because we are in Johannesburg, at least, because we have a summer rainfall and it is fairly warm in the summer, this is our season. And we always have this conversation. You know, couples will say, well, I get bitten and somebody else doesn't get bitten. How does it work? Why is it that some people are more susceptible to mosquitoes or mosquito bites than others?
Ah, well, let me take you through it. Firstly, it's only the female mosquitoes that attack you.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing personal. They're doing it to get protein for their babies that they are growing inside them.
Right.
So you are doing good to mosquito-ness.
Yeah, same.
Secondly, yep. Now, secondly, the main attractant for mosquitoes is carbon dioxide because they want blood. And if you've got a big animal emitting lots of carbon dioxide, it'll have easy to get at veins. But humans are fine. Thirdly, once they've tracked you down in a general area, hey, there's a whole lot of people standing around drinking beer, having a party, not drinking beer, maybe drinking water, still having a party and breathing out, then they will hone in on you. And we did an experiment on 64 people where we got them, we the scientists, got them to wear a nylon stocking on each arm from the wrist to the elbow for 6 hours. It then got soaked in their skin odours,
mm-hmm.
and then we gave that to various mosquitoes to smell, and in that group of 64, the number of mosquitoes that were attracted varied by a factor of 100. There are some people whose nylon would attack 300 mosquitoes, and others would attract only 3. And what was happening with the people who were very attractive, they had a chemical that I thought was fairly straightforward. All we had to do was just find this chemical and then block it. The chemical was called carboxylic acid,
mm-hmm.
and if there was lots of a carboxylic acid chemical, then the mosquitoes would come. But then, oh horror, I then went to Wikipedia and read up about carboxylic acids, and there are hundreds of different chemicals, including vinegar and the stuff in butter and in peanut oil and coconut oil and amino acids and proteins and ketones. They're everywhere. So we've got a little bit more knowledge, but we still haven't worked out the perfect cure. At the moment, we have a rough treatment,
mm-hmm.
which is DEET, but some scientists are proposing that we actually change our own body odour and do this by colonising our skin with a harmless bacterium that will then change our skin odour so that to everybody else we smell like Chanel No. 5 and to mosquitoes we smell like death incarnate and they go away.
So, and is it anything to do with what we eat?
Yes, that is also another factor. But so if you're having lots of butter, you may well be emitting butyric acid smells. But I imagine a very small amount. On the other hand, smelling is very important for the survival of mosquitoes, so maybe they could pick up such weak smells. Certainly we know that other chemicals, such as garlic and onions, do sort of float around you after you've had a large quantity, but that could be just you breathing them out from your gut.
Right. Really fascinating. I'd love your thoughts on that. 34519 or 0618951019. Are you one of those people who does get bitten or one of those people who don't? Can we talk about a diet to fight arthritis?
That's tricky. You see, firstly, there are several hundred different types of arthritis. Arthritis just simply means any disease that affects your joints. Fingers, toes, ankle, wrist, hips, spine. And it can come and go slowly or quickly. There can be redness or warmth or swelling. So there's osteoarthritis,
mm-hmm.
which counts as a wear and tear. And then there's gout, which is related to a metabolic disorder. And that affects about 1% of the population, where you put uric acids into the joint. Or there's rheumatoid arthritis, which is where your own immune system attacks you. And then there's lupus and fibromyalgia and septic arthritis and another 94 different types. What you can do for it with regard to your diet is, I'm sorry to say, exactly what your grandparents said. Eat a healthy and varied diet rather than having supplements. So have vegetables and fruit and legumes and whole grains, as well as meat if you like, as well as foods rich in omega-3 fats, such as fatty fish, salmon, tuna, sardines, and the chia seeds and a bit of vitamin D. Number two, and this will break the heart of some of the audience, avoid alcohol.
What?
Number three, aim for a healthy weight. And finally, saying one and a half again, putting it as number four, keep away from the supplements in general, but work through your GP. You can sometimes get a small amount of relief, and seeing how osteoarthritis affects so many people, even a small amount of relief is better than none at all.
So are you in general not a fan of supplements and vitamins, this type of thing? What is your
approach? In general,
to
I am not a fan unless you have a proven deficiency. Consider the case of what are called oxidants. You've heard about oxidants and antioxidants?
Yep.
So presumably oxidants, whatever they are, must be bad, because oxidants, whatever they are you are told that they are good by the wellness companies trying to sell you supplements. Experiment number one. There are a whole lot of people, about 100,000 people, who, thanks to a lifetime of smoking cigarettes, were in the process of dying from a lung cancer. Because of their family history and how long they'd been smoking cigarettes and many other factors, we knew how long, on average, over that large number, they'd be expected to live. Half of them, the scientists put onto a diet rich in antioxidants, the yellow vegetables, beetroot and pumpkin. And they, it turned out after a very short time, began to live longer. And so the scientists thought, well, if a little bit of antioxidant is good, surely more is better. And they started giving them antioxidants from tablets. They died sooner.
That's right? So interesting.
So the antioxidants from the tablets made them die sooner. Second example, you get a bunch of people, you get them to go to the gym, they're under a training program, they follow instructions, they turn up every day or every second day. After a month, on average, they will put on 2 kilograms of muscle and will have lost about 3 kilograms of fat, on average.
Right.
But if at the end of each training session you get them to take antioxidant tablets, there's no improvement. I'm not a fan of supplements in general because they can cause harm. The only reason they got to get into the common usage was because at the end of the Vietnam War, there was a big push by the vitamin companies in America for people to start taking vitamins. And at the end of the Vietnam War, with all of us misery, there was this easy fix. Hey, life is bad, but have vitamins and you'll be healthier. Yes. And they overrode the advice of the American Food and Drug Administration. And so you're allowed to take massive quantities of vitamins and the like without any medical supervision whatsoever.
Absolutely fascinating. Final question, Dr. Cole. The biggest ever explosion in the universe was the Big Bang. The second are gamma ray bursters. So what is that?
A gamma ray burster is when a star, where in the process of a black hole being born, two beams of gamma rays, a few degrees wide, squirted out. So the event is either a supermassive star, 30 times the mass of the sun, turns into a supernova and emits as it dies and forms a black hole, a few beams, or two neutron stars run into each other. The last event happened on the 14th of October this year, and it happened 2 billion light years away, where a star went supernova, and it was firstly the brightest such event ever seen, with energy something like 18,000 million times more than the energy in light. And secondly, even though it was at a distance of 2 billion, B for billion, B for bravo, even though it was 2 billion light years away, it had enough energy to briefly ionize our atmosphere and interfere with radio communications.
Very,
that was one heck of a powerful event. They call it BOAT, B-O-A-T, or Brightest of All Time.